Thank you for downloading this episode of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and give us a rating and review on iTunes. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
This week on JBT Pod. The Sixers have declined Okafor's rookie option. We'll be discussing where he fits best in the league. In a new edition of the Busick Manuel Scale, we'll be discussing who won the Paul George trade and are the Clippers a better team without CP3. As well as continuing our Rookie Watch and JB Team of the Week, we also end with a DBS of some of the worst NBA centers in the league. So shut up, sit down, because JBT is about to begin. Good morning, afternoon, or evening from wherever you're listening across the world. Welcome to this edition of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. My name is Nick Busink, and I have grown quite accustomed to the good old bicycle now that my car is indisposed.
Right.
Yes, having to ride around a bit everywhere.
Are your legs jacked up right now, Nick?
Yeah, mate.
Are you got like
massive calves? I already had big ass legs, and now they're just my pants cannot contain.
You're like tree trunks.
Times two. And with me today on this episode 2.4, we have the Jack Manuel J Band. God damn, why can't I do this today? We have the J-Man, Jack Manuel. How are we, mate? Happy birthday.
Thank you, sir. I didn't know that I am the Jack Manuel. I didn't know that my name was a nickname, but I think I'll take that. I might have to legally change my name now to J-Man, and Jack Manuel will become my nickname.
Did a bit of editing for you today, mate. Quality's going to be shit, but happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Hopefully that turned out. I will, if you heard it, I'm sure the people at home heard it as well. So that's,
well, the Simpsons.
How old are we turning, Jackie?
I am 49. I'm looking very sprightly for my age.
You are, actually. God damn.
I'm 27. So getting old, but you know, still
three more years. You're out of your 20s, mate. How does that feel?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Birthdays aren't that big a deal to me. Like, it's just another day. But another day, another dollar, another week of JBT. That's what really matters to me, Nicholas.
Damn right. We'll make it quick because I'm sure you've got birthday celebrations to attend to. So this might be a little bit of an express edition of JBT. But we'll kick right into it with some JBT news. The Sixers has decided not to pick up the final year of Jahlil Okafor's rookie option. In response, Okafor said, "I didn't want them to pick up my option. I'm just in a position to where can I get on the court? Man, I'm dyslexic today. That's not happening here, and I want to play." He's looking for a trade or a buyout, and they've just, within the past few days, I think they've declined his buyout. Anyway, Jack, I pose the question to you. Which team would be a good candidate for his services?
My Nets are the perfect candidate, Nick. We are struggling so badly in the front court. Though the strongest rumor right now seems to be the Boston Celtics. To be honest, I prefer the fit with the Nets just purely because he wants to play minutes. And I think he'll see a lot more minutes for us than he will at Boston with Brad Stevens. The buyout has been declined somewhat, but I think it's still an option. I just think that, you know, the Sixers are wanting something in return, but they're the ones that have devalued him so much in the past
of
couple of months. So it's their own fault. And what do they expect to get in return? Yesterday they gave up a first rounder.
Yeah, they're looking for quite a return on this, and that's why I'm thinking more towards the Celtics, who have got more to give. Whether they actually give it, Danny Ainge is renowned for being quite a shrewd businessman when it comes to this. So I feel the Philadelphia might be kind of fishing in a... I'm sure there's an analogy there, but they're asking for too much for Okafor.
Yeah. Definitely.
He can still be quite an influence on the floor as a backup. I think.
Yeah.
I think you're hoping. I don't know if your expectations are for him to be the saving grace of your front court, but he's not that.
No, but he would be miles ahead of Mozgov, who has been trash for us, and Tyler Zeller, who makes trash look like...
Which is, yeah, you don't even have to explain it. It's just Tyler Zeller. I'm surprised that Mozgov has looked so bad for you, but I guess if you want some offense, you know, you're obviously not a defensive team, so he'll fit right in.
Exactly. So just go out all offense.
Exactly. And like Kenny Atkinson's a player's coach as well, so give him some confidence. He can make it
work.
Picked
in the same draft as D'Angelo.
There you go. They're mates.
And he just fits our youth movement. So, you know, I'm all in on the Nets. So, you know, watch this space where JVT will keep you informed of Jahlil's whereabouts. In unfortunate continuing injury news, Tristan Thompson of the Cavs has been added to the growing list of injuries in the NBA. Sorry about that, Nick. I can't speak either because I choke on my own words.
This is a great day for JBT.
We're struggling right now, but we'll get through it. We'll get through it. he picked up a left calf strain in the Cavs' loss to the Pacers and is expected to miss a month of game time. Now, he wasn't really missed in the win against the Wizards, but how does this affect the Cleveland Cavaliers going forward, Nicholas?
Well, when you've got a superstar in LeBron James who can play as a center and as a point guard and as any position on the court, why do you even need a team?
No.
I know. It's ridiculous. There was one play where... Anyway, I could talk about this game for ages. He destroyed us. He's not missed... in the Cavs offense, and that was always the case, really. He was there to shore up a very lackluster defense, and that's where the fear will be for Cleveland.
Yeah.
How they can cope, I guess, without having a big presence in the paint when they're already... I mean, I'd have to look up the numbers for points in the paint, but it would be... I can imagine it would be not great considering how poor their defense is. Anyway, they're worst in the league in defensive rating.
That's saying something.
And this is a team who have been to three straight NBA finals.
So, Nick, I pose to you, has the Kardashian curse struck again?
I was going to mention that. TT's been struck down with the injury curse. Please don't say Blake next, but it is such a Blake thing to do. I mean, I cannot think it just be. I'm not even sure if it would be a Kardashian thing. I think it would just be a Blake thing.
Yeah, I think you separate the Kardashian thing with
when
Blake
you mix because, Kardashians and Griffins together, mate. That is, he's going to he's going to get hit by a car. I hope not.
Bastard.
I hope not. But if we're merging in the misfortune in a basketball sense together, two of the most unfortunate. Yeah. It'd be worse if his middle name was like Odom or something. Like that would.
I was about to say. Drop my instinct to life, but let's move on to some abusing Manuel scale in our DP of the week, Nicholas. What do you got for me first off?
All right, some hot takes here, always. Hot takes on the Bucic-Manuel scale. For those of you who are new to the podcast, this is a scaling system that me and Jack have invented in which we rank NBA rumors or NBA statements, really, on how likely they are to occur and how truthful they are, ranging from alternative fact to fact. All right, so, mate, with Oladipo and Sabonis playing inspired basketball, Kevin Pritchard and the Pacers won the Paul George trade.
This is a Twitter fact. Look, I can't say alternative fact because they are playing that damn good. And the loss of Paul George, you know, can't be understated. It has to be closer to an alternative fact just purely because Paul George is a superstar and he's proved that over a long period of time.
Hmm.
Victor Oladipo and Sabonis have proved that over 9-10 games. Not to say that form can't be sustained because Oladipo looks like a perfect fit right now for Nate McMillan's new system. I was surprised it would fit in so well because Nate McMillan normally doesn't normally play this sort of pace and space style, which allows Oladipo to use his strengths, his speed, his ability to get out in the fast break. And he's looked great. You know, he's averaging almost 25 points a game, and he's just killing it. And Sabonis, as a starting center, in the absence of Miles Turner, who only came back the other day, is averaging like almost 10 rebounds. And he's just, you know, doing all the gritty stuff down there, which, you know, he didn't really get the chance to do alongside Russ in OKC.
Hmm.
So as much as I do like this, and as much as I want to skew it towards closer to a fact, it's not an alternative fact, but I'll give it some validity with the Twitter fact.
I'm giving it a little bit higher than that, mate. I'm going to give it a Wikipedia fact. So I trust this.
Ooh.
I trust this quite a bit, as much as I trust Wikipedia, which is a lot. Oladipo and Sabonis are absolutely balling out of their skins right now. Who would have thought after their season in OKC that they would be producing what they're producing? Victor Oladipo is about 25 a game and Sabonis at 13. Oladipo at 25 a game is enough for me. If you're trading, never mind the names, Paul George for a 25 point a game, 50-49-87 shooting split player that's going to hit a clutch 3-point shot against the Spurs. Was it against the Spurs?
Yeah.
I think it was against the Spurs.
It was.
That's good for me. Like, I'm happy with that. And then having Sabonis even as a piece off the bench would have been fine. But Sabonis is coming out averaging a double-double.
Yeah.
Their PERs are through the roof as well. I know how much you love your PER, mate. Well, not through the roof.
Big fan of Perth.
But, like, even Sabonis is 21 PER, which is good.
Anything above 20 is very solid.
Exactly.
So,
25 for Oladipo. And with... Well, the last time I looked, Paul George was struggling with OKC. Things might have changed around because OKC are traveling not too bad now. But comparatively, when you're getting this sort of output from Oladipo and Sabonis, I am willing to say that, you know, Paul George has the greater potential. Obviously, he's an all-star and he's the better player, which is why I'm only giving this a Wikipedia. Because I do believe that Oladipo and especially Sabonis, he's shooting at 66%. Sorry, 62%. That's going to even out. Victor Oladipo shooting at 50, at 50% from three. That's going to even out. Else we're looking at a bloody new all-star.
Look, right now, Oladipo has a legitimate claim for the two-guard spot for an all-star, whether it's as a reserve or and maybe even start if he continues this form, because, you know, Bradley Beal has been good, but Oladipo's probably been that little bit better. Nicholas, another team that's been quite hot early, the Detroit Pistons. The Detroit Pistons are a lock for this year's playoffs. A lock, my friend. Are we locking it in?
Are they getting Bledsoe or are they not getting Bledsoe?
That sigh was said it all. Look,
it's really hard. They're 6-3. That's a great start, but at the end of the day, it's only 6 wins.
Yeah, and again, that loss to the Lakers was pretty poor, especially after coming up against the Warriors. I mean, there was always going to be a bit flat, but
yeah, cool.
I think if we're ranking them, we've talked about the Orlando Magic. I probably rate the Pistons a little bit higher just due to their continuation and the fact that a few years ago they were around that playoff mark already. And, you know, Reggie Jackson's injury, Andre Drummond is, you know, playing inspired basketball and is shooting over 75% from the free throw line. And it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
DeAndre Jordan,
crazy. Yeah.
He looks amazing from there. His form is ridiculous. And me or you could learn a thing or two from him, that's for sure.
That is definitely true.
So, I mean, I'm going to lean with you. I'm going to go with Wiki for this one because it's hard to lock anyone in after 9 games. We almost did with Orlando. I really couldn't, but I prefer the Pistons right now for a 7th or an 8th spot out the playoffs out east.
I'm chucking
I just like
one,
Andre Drummond.
Oh, sorry,
Drummond's consistent. I like Tobias Harris. I like Avery Bradley addition. I don't like... if they can get Eric Bledsoe and get rid of Reggie Jackson, that would be a great move for them. But I don't see the Phoenix Suns making that move in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Tobias Harris has been an interesting piece this season. There's been so many breakouts from so many odd players. It's really really good to watch, because you think of a player like Tobias Harris who's jumped around teams all over the place. I think how many teams has he played for over the past few years? It's been a few.
Last time he was at Orlando, funnily enough, the team we've just been chatting about.
Yeah.
He's been sort of in that weird range, trying to sort of develop where's his game at, but Stan Van has found a nice little niche for him.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, shooting well over his career three-point, like the three-point improvement has been very, very noticeable in Tobias Harris, and obviously that's an increase in points as well. He's looking good in this offense, but I can't give this more than a Twitter.
Oh, okay.
Because I look at the Pistons and I'm like, yeah, you're gonna do what the Pistons do, and not.
Do you have more faith in the Orlando Magic?
No, I don't. I don't think either of them are gonna make it. I've got more faith. I've got more faith in Detroit than Orlando.
Right,
but Aaron Gordon's a sexy player.
He's sexy.
He plays sexy basketball.
Despite having the Twitter name of another Aaron Gordon out there, which was one of the funniest things to happen on Twitter. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
So on Twitter this week, there was another guy named Aaron Gordon who got called out by this basketball fan. He's like, "Bro, why you got the same name as the Orlando Magic guy? Delete your account." And he's like, "Okay, I'm 7 years older than Aaron Gordon. I am a white guy. I am a writer. Why do I need to change my name? I've been on this earth for 5 years longer." And he's like, and the guy responded like, "Bro, it's fake news. Fake news, bro. Stop trying to get them follows." And just continues on with just like this absolute idiot of like the American people taking on this like legitimate reporter. And then Aaron Gordon comes out, retweets the other Aaron Gordon, and it was one of the funniest moments on Twitter this week. I urge for our JBT fans to check it out if you haven't. Just search Aaron Gordon's Twitter profile. It's up there. So lots of fun there. Now, Nick, the Clippers, they've been a bit up and down lately. So I reckon this one might, earlier in the week when we put it up, might change a little bit. The Clippers are a better team without CP3. What do you got on the Bucic Valmwell scale?
Well, they're still 5-2, mate. The Clips.
Yeah.
Like, they're still playing well. I think they lost their most recent game, I believe.
Grizzlies.
Yeah, Griffin. Oh, against the Grizzlies. There you go. I believe Griffin didn't put up a tremendous night that night. But they're still a good team. And I forgot the question, so I can't... Oh, okay, a better team. Oh, that's... This is a Wikipedia fact. I can't give it an all-out fact, but there's something here.
They're better without CP3. Are you serious? They've been in the top five offense in the past 4 years in Chris Paul's. Now, I know these stats because I've done like plenty of articles on OTG about the Clippers and they've been a top three, top four, even a top offense in the past few years, thanks to Chris Paul. I would say they're a different team. Now, different isn't like necessarily, you know, the most becoming compliment, but they are a transformed Clippers team now that they are Blake's team. They're more team-oriented. Their offense is much different. Their pace is different. They look different in how they move the ball. DeAndre has a greater role. I think the loss of Teodosic is unfortunate because I've really liked him and what he could have added. He could have been a really nice, sexy piece and could have sort of kept them up. And I reckon I would have increased my Twitter facts. I could have increased my alternative fact to Twitter fact if Teodosic was still in the lineup. But I just can't because Chris Paul is that good. And despite his injury, when he comes back, he's going to make the Rockets better. And people forget how good this guy is. He's one of the best pure point guards of all time. So for me, it's alternative.
You make good points, mate. But at the end of the day, all it comes down to is playoffs. And we're not going to know that till, you know, June, July.
Yep.
I just feel that the changes that they've been forced to make or that they've wanted to make in getting rid of CP3, picking up Beverly, picking up, you know, Lou Will, Gallinari, all of these pieces may make them a better playoff team. And at the end of the day, that's what matters.
Good point.
Because
fair point.
So many years they were disappointing in the playoffs after being such a good regular season team. If they get further in the playoffs, which is going to be hard considering how strong the West is, then they are definitely a better team than the Grizzlies. They're a better team than they were with CP3. I'm looking at the Grizzlies game. My mind is all over the place. I got my facts wrong, by the way. Blake Griffin had a good game, 30-11. So keep going, Blake. MVP. Blake MVP.
Yeah, he's killing it. Now, Nick, I know we've got this one tagged out, but I want to add it in because these guys are too good not to talk about so far. Mm-hmm. Now, the Boston Celtics, are they, speaking without a player, the Celtics are a better team without Gordon Hayward?
Alternative.
What do you got? Yeah, it's alternative. But how good have they been lately?
I crossed this out because I thought it was silly. How can you possibly call them a better team without Gordon Hayward when you haven't seen them with Gordon Hayward?
Well, 5 minutes we have, Nicholas, and they weren't that good.
They might have been. If they scored like 10 points in that 5 minutes, their offensive rating would be off through the fucking roof.
Well, look, I'm the only reason I put it in was just to add in the fact of with Gordon Hayward, I don't think Jason Tatum would be as good as he is right now. I don't think Jaylen Brown would be as good as he is right now. I don't think a lot of these guys, these young bench pieces, these second rounders, get the minutes and increase the depth of their roster to the where if Gordon Hayward was in. Does it mean that they're going to get further in the playoffs? Of course not. And, you know, Gordon Hayward came out with a nice article on his personal blog the other day, which was awesome. I urge everyone to check it out. With Gordon Hayward going next year, this is a legitimate contender.
Hmm.
This year, I still think that they're one of the best teams out East if they continue the way they are. Brad Stevens is an absolute genius. Mm-hmm. And for me right now as coach of the year, the way he's got Kyrie Irving playing, he's playing inspired defense. I believe they're number one in defensive rating off the top of my head, unless something changed last night. This Boston Celtics team is ridiculous. And the way that they came back against OKC away as well, Kyrie and Al Horford have been the nucleus of all that. But they're getting such massive contributions that Jason Tatum has really... he hasn't made many appearances in our rookie watch so far, but he's just been too damn consistent to sort of have that star game. You know, he'd be averaging, you know, anywhere from 12 to 13 points a game. And if he's doing that on a good team, similar to what Malcolm Brogdon did last year, he's every chance for rookie of the year if somehow Ben Simmons can drop off.
Yeah, they are top defense at the moment, which is crazy to think about considering they lost one of the best defensive guards in the league. Team defense is everything, Jack. And like you said, Brad Stevens is a very, very smart man. Vouched by Kyrie, indeed.
God, don't get me started, man.
But you're talking about one player taking the minutes of two rookies. I still think Jason Tatum would be given a very good chance. He played 30 minutes against the Thunder. And I'm sure if we looked up his stats, he'd be averaging at least 20 a game. At least.
20? No. There's no way he's averaging 20 a game.
No, 20 minutes. Saying... 20 minutes, minutes, minutes.
Oh, 20 minutes, minutes, yeah, minutes, yeah. Yes. No, well, yeah, but I think that number decreases significantly with Hayward in the lineups, whether it's 5 minutes, whether it's 8 minutes. Now, not necessarily to say that that would hurt his development at all, but he's just fitted in. So he looks, outside of Simmons, who was taken in last year's draft anyway, right now, he would probably, if we were to redraft the 2016-17 draft, lots of people would be taking Jason Tatum at number one right now, just because of his NBA readiness.
Of course.
You know, De'Aaron Fox.
That's not exactly a hard thing to say, considering the number one draft pick is injured.
Yeah, and Lonzo Ball has been up and down, but Nick, speaking of those rookies, let's get to our rookie watch.
Indeed. This week with rookie watch, we have three votes to, you guessed it, mate, Ben Simmons.
Benny boy.
24 points, 9 assists, and 7 rebounds in the Sixers win over the Rockets. He also had his second triple-double this week, 14, 11, and 11 in the team's 11-point win over the Pacers. And it is the first time since Chamberlain, I want to say, I think it was Chamberlain, to have Oscar Robertson. Oscar Robertson to have two triple-doubles in his first 9 games of basketball, which is incredible.
Full company.
Yes, very good company. Two votes to Lauri Markkanen. He continues to impress in Chicago, putting up 25 points and 8 rebounds in the team's narrow loss to the Heat. Did he make it last week, or did we decide? No, we decided to put Mitchell instead. But he was on cusp.
He was on the cusp. He's made it now. He has made it now.
So he's been on the cusp, Markkanen. He's been doing very well in Chicago.
He has.
One vote to De'Aaron Fox. He had a nice game in the Kings' loss to the Pacers, posting 18 points, 4 rebounds, and 5 assists, and 1 steal coming off the bench. So it's very nice bench scoring there from Fox.
Let's save it, Nick. I reckon because a lot of people will know that Ben Simmons has the lead, but we have a lot of other guys who are on the come up, and like with our JB team of the week, JB team of the year, let's keep the fans in suspense.
All right, done deal. Do you want to take a quick break before we hit JB team?
Let's do it, love.
You're listening to JBT Podcast. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/JBT Podcast. Welcome back to JBT Podcast. Mate, let's get into some JB team of the week. JB Team of the Week.
San Antonio! What a perfect ending to a historic day!
Yes, welcome to JB Team of the Week. For those of you who are new to the podcast, this is where we select a fantasy team for the week just gone, one player per position, and then all their appearances get added up, and we decide a JB Team of the Year at the end of the year. So I'll take the I'll take the backcourt, mate. At point guard, we've got Kemba Walker, who led the Hornets to a nice win over the Magic, 34 points, 6 rebounds, and 10 assists. Very nice from Kemba. And Hornets are doing low key good this year, mate. I like their stuff. At the shooting guard, Tim Hardaway Jr. had his best game of the year in the Knicks and a surprise win against the Cavs for their fourth loss in a row until they broke it against the Wizards. But it's not about the Wizards, mate. It's not about the Wizards. It's about Tim Hardaway Jr. He put up 34, 8, and 4. Very nice stuff from Jr. there. Want to take the back front court? Getting them confused.
Yes, and of course, that small forward, it has to be LeBron James. Against your Wizards, I just had to mention it. Yeah. Best individual performance of the year so far, and one of the best in the career. 57 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists, 23 of 34 from the field. On the same night, he became the youngest player to reach 29,000 career points. He also joined Kobe Bryant as the only player with the 50-point game in their 15th season or later. He made those 23 field goals that he made is the most in his career. LeBron James is simply not human, and we should have him at every position for JB Team of the Year.
What was astounding, just a little sub-point, was that 90% of those shots were post-ups. Going back to strong Bully. LeBron, it was juicy, and we were getting demolished, and I was still enjoying myself. Keep going.
I mean, you can't not anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
At the power forward position for a guy that should be a center, Kristaps Porzingis had another career high. He's been low key. We mentioned the Hornets. I don't think he's much low key anymore.
No, not low key anymore, mate.
That's for sure. Career high, 38 points to go, 7 assists and 3 blocks in the Knicks' nice win over the Nuggets. And a guy making yet another appearance in JB Team of the Week, DeMarcus Cousins. He's continuing to doing those boogie things, posting 35 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. His passing this year has been ridiculous.
It has. He's increased his assist numbers. Yeah, he's been amazing. Really, like he would probably be next in line for MVP, if not for LeBron.
Yeah, you could say LeBron, Porzingis, Giannis. There's a few candidates so far this year. You'll see, and Boogie, you know, he'll do this on a nightly basis. It's just whether the Pelicans can get the wins. But yeah, they unfortunately, that was done in a loss to Minnesota. But I remiss to say, then we will get to our JB Team of the Year. There's some plenty of contenders out there. Mm-hmm. Some are separating themselves from the pack, LeBron. But Nicholas, shall we get to our DeBus?
Let's get to our yes, DeBus, DBS. Drop.
Steven, I like your hustle. That's why it was so hard to cut you.
Bench.
No, God, please, no, no.
Start.
All right, that's more like it.
This is DBS. Yes, welcome to JBT's DBS. For those of you who are new to the podcast, here's how it works. We've been given 3 basketball players, both past and present, and we have to decide who we drop, who we bench, and who we start. It's that simple. So this week, mate, it's a different DBS. It's a bit of a shitstorm, to say the least. We've got Timofey Mozgov, Zaza Pachulia, and Andrew Bogut. So some of the worst centers in the league right now. Who you dropping, who you benching, who you starting?
Can I drop all of them, Nicholas? No.
We'll play small ball. Not that bad. Play small ball.
Yeah. Well, like, the NBA is trending that way anyway. In 2 years' time, these guys will be obsolete in today's league. Yeah. But for the purpose of this exercise, I'm going to start Zaza. Ugh. I'm going to drop Mozgov, and I'm going to bench the Bogey, because I like Bogut. I toot and fro. I'm a Nets fan, and right now, for those that don't know, and obviously, and right now, I feel like Bogut would fit better in our system at Brooklyn than what Mozgov would, despite the fact that both of them have, you know, as much athletic ability as Nick does. I didn't mean to be mean there.
But though
Nick has at least some agility, whereas these guys just have none whatsoever, no mobility. I can't really say anything good other than the fact of, you know, Zaza starts for the Warriors. None of these guys have many redeeming qualities, so I don't have a lot to say about him. So, yeah, starting Zaza, benching Bogey, and dropping the Moz God.
You're dropping your own teammate. What are you doing, mate?
I'm harsh, Nick.
I mean, dropping him. Actually, no, I'm benching him. That's right. I am dropping Zaza because...
Wow.
Because of this, mate.
Game 7! That's why you started, Nicholas.
I don't want Zaza on my team. I don't want him in the league. Nah, that's a bit cruel. But I don't want him on my team. Simply because I think that Bogut and Mozgov can offer more. Like you said, they're both athletically poor. All 3 of them, sorry. Actually, did you see Zaza's fast break? It was the slowest fast break in history. It was...
Did you call it a slow break, Nicholas?
It was so bad. He got the steal, and then he's dribbling down the floor. Oh, man. It was like lumbering oaf.
I can imagine in my head right now.
It was funny. But I'm starting Bogut. I'm dropping... I'm benching Mozgov, and I'm dropping Zaza. I want Bogut on my team because he was an underrated part of that Warriors. Like, that was 2 years ago, granted. He is an old man, and he has... more problems with his legs than someone who has none.
Oscar
Pistorius. That was better. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. There we go.
Yes, you said it was on the tip of my tongue.
But you cannot underrate Bogut's ability to facilitate offense. And I love that in him. I love that part of his game. He is averaging 1 point this year.
Wow.
He is, and I'm starting him, mate. He is starting, but he is not playing 30 minutes. I'm not even sure he could play 5. But he's but he's starting. He's not my minutes guy, but I want him. I definitely want him on my team.
How bad is our, do our teams have to be that we would have to start one of these guys? And yeah, to be fair, two of them are starters in today's NBA right now.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's damning.
Gosh. Oh. Next week, we should definitely get back on the track of doing some talented NBA players who have a place in today's NBA. All right.
Some good ones? Yeah, okay. That's fair. That's fair. All right, mate.
Do you want me to take us out?
Yeah, you've got some birthday stuffs to do, so take us out, big boy.
All right. Thank you, guys. Just as ever, thank you so much for downloading, listening to this episode of Just Ball Things NBA podcast. You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Blog Talk Radio, and any decent pod center. And remember, give us a rate and review because it'll help other people find us and add to the conversation. You can get in touch with us personally on Twitter. I am at the J-Man JBT, and Nick is at JBT Real NJ. Also, for some awesome content, hit up at OTG Basketball on Twitter or otgbasketball.com. You can reach us on Facebook at facebook.com/JBTpodcast or Instagram at JBTpod, and also through email at jbtpodcast@gmail.com. Remember, it is you guys, and we thank you so much, as always, who make the show great, so we appreciate any and every post heading our way. So until next week,
keep balling, superstars.